Please be our vision, O bright heaven's sun. For the last 7 weeks now, we here at Zion have been talking about vision. And for the most part, we've had that cute little video that at the beginning of each of the sermons, we've kind of seen people run into doors and into posts and into signs, and we've seen people fall very dramatically over ottomans, and we've watched as they have walked right into traffic, blindfolded into traffic, and it's always closed with the same words from Proverbs 29:18. Now, I quizzed first service, so I should probably do that here. Does anybody remember what the words were at the end of the video? Without vision, right, the people perish. Very nice. It only took you 5 or 6 times. That's good. That's why I keep showing it, okay? And we've done this so far so we can understand that we're trying to lay a foundation for our vision. In fact, if you take a look at that insert, okay, I've been building this every week. On the front side is the compass. Now, on the front side is what's called our missional mandate. We've covered the first part of this, taking the cross of grace and peace. And yes, this is kind of the hook, if you will, that we have chosen uniquely to express our place in the Great Commission. How do we at Zion Lutheran live out the Great Commission? Then on the backside are our values or motives. We start with Scripture, we go to worship, we build community, we emphasize and strive for growth. Okay, we want to be about service. And finally, we have this desire to go out and share the good news of Jesus by taking his cross of grace and peace wherever we go. Outreach. Starting in January 2020, we're going to be talking about some other things in this process. We're going to be talking about the back half of the missional mandate. We'll talk about what are called measures, or how do we know that we're doing the right stuff? How do we know that we're a success at what we're trying to do? And then we'll also talk about strategy. Now, this is important stuff. It's prayerful, passionate work that a lot of people have done so we can have a focus for the foreseeable future. It's words and it's concepts that I humbly hope start to describe what we do. But like I said in first service, it's not just what we do. It's really more about what we become. That's what vision is about, what we become here at Zion. But in fact, let me take you back to the words that I started with, okay? Please be our vision, O bright heaven's sun. It was about 500 to 700 AD, according to scholars William and Randy Peterson, the Irish church was synonymous with this missionary zeal, this missionary fervor. Irish missionaries went from Scotland all the way down to Switzerland, and one of those missionaries was a man named, now I'm not going to do it nearly as cool as they will, okay, Columba of the County Donegal, okay, Columba of the County Donegal, and Columba was known to sing songs that nobody else had sung before. I mean, not really a surprise after all, because he was one of the better known poets of the aforementioned Irish church. Now, the song, Be Thou My Vision, okay, admittedly is anonymous, but it comes from roughly the same time frame as this Saint Columba of Donegal. And the word vision in the song is not meant just to be that which you focus on, it's that which you strive for. It's that which you live for. Here's a verse. High King of Heaven, my victory won, may I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all. Wow. Now, my point in bringing this up is, here on Reformation, it's a perfect day to say this, Jesus is at the center of our vision. His cross is what our vision is all about. Taking that cross and sharing that good news, growing in the gospel message, that's our vision. Missions and values, measures and strategies, they all give us a way to articulate it, to talk about it in a manner that we're going to live it out as Zion Lutheran Church. They are ways that we're going to embody Christ's mission uniquely, creatively, and yet, please understand, in unity with the overall mission of the church. God is at the center. Jesus is what our vision is about, but also understand our context is unique. The passions of this place are unique. The people of this place are unique as compared to any other church. So our vision and mission are unique, and so we strive creatively to live that out differently than other churches do. Yet we are still undeniably in step with the Great Commission. This incredible message of grace and peace that we get to take with us wherever we go. We're not here deifying words or business concepts. Okay? We're giving unique and creative expression to God's vision in this place. We strive to be His people, live it out in unique ways, yet in unified ways with the whole church. And so perhaps this is why there's no accident that this well-known text falls on this day, Reformation of God's Church, Matthew 28:16-20, and it's a great text. One that you probably know well, but it's worth looking at again. So, bulletins, Bibles, if you dare, Matthew 28:16-20. Okay, Matthew 28:16-20. Now, as you do, I want to give you a little bit of context here. Put yourself back in Matthew 28 for a moment. The arrest and crucifixion of Jesus must have been this deeply disorienting event or experience for his followers. It no doubt ruthlessly, okay, dashes the hopes and dreams of those that have been following after this Messiah for nearly 3 years of their lives. And in his death, they lost one that they loved and they admired. To a brutal act of crucifixion. 3 days later, they first heard about the reports, and then they see him alive. And so the assumption that this movement is anywhere near dead is just as much as seeing Friday's tears go away at Easter's joy. I mean, they went from losing it all down to having their minds bent by the reality of the resurrection. And so having been reunited with Jesus in all places but Galilee, right, the disciples' response is admittedly a little peculiar. Did you catch it? It's a little peculiar, but maybe less so considering what's happened in the last few days. Okay, there's two parts here. This part we understand, I bet. Jesus' followers worship. Okay, I get that. I mean, come on. He's the king. He's overcome death and the grave. He's the one who's come to crush the serpent's heads, the said head. The great I am, the suffering servant, the Messiah of all people. He's come not to condemn, but to save all people by the blood of his son. He's the Messiah of all people. Yes, they worship. Then along comes verse 17, and it says that they doubted. Now, you should know this. This is a unique word here. See, behind the English word doubt stands the Greek word distazo. Distazo, which means that somebody is standing in two places at the same time. It's to have two minds. Now, that should make sense a little bit because, I mean, this doesn't mean that they had long-term doubt, his followers. It doesn't mean that they had atheistic arm crossing going on here, okay? It just points out that they were two places at the same time. They were in the wow of worship and the but how of doubt. The wow of worship and the how of doubt. Now, I would guess that they're probably not the only ones who have ever been here. I would guess you've probably been there before. You've probably been in a place where you have been really comforted. But radically challenged. Now, believe me, I could go and I would love to go and talk about this, the reality of distazo as it unfolds between in the followers' lives and all this. And I would be able to do that for a while. But I would rather focus what's left in our time today upon what the text does to frame the community moving forward. And it actually does it with four movements. Four movements. It does it in four alls, to be exact. As in, all authority has been given to Jesus. The church is called to make disciples of all nations. The goal of this movement is that teaching will happen, and that teaching is contained in all of what God has taught us so that it's known and lived, and that both personally and communally, God's people should know that God is with us always or for all time. Four fundamental things that we ought to get is the Great Commission, and if we're going to be outreach-minded, we should get them too. So let's walk through these real quick, okay? First, let's consider the phrase, all authority, verse 18. Take a look, verse 18. And Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So the virgin birth marked his profound humanity, his lowly and blessed mother, his carpenter father, his beginner address in Nazareth. They were all part of his resume. His teaching, his ministry, his miracles, his promised presence, they all mark him as God with us. So he's fully God. He's fully man. But he is also fully God. He is Lord of all. He is present at creation. He's outside of time. He's inside of a Trinitarian relationship that we constantly confess. See, the Great Commission isn't the Great Commission unless he's fully God and fully man. I mean, he just rose from death. Need I say more? Well, yes, because secondly, based upon that reality, he calls his followers to go to all nations. Take a look at verse 19. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus wants to be reconciled with all of humanity. He's not just for the Jewish race. He clearly here expands the boundaries to everybody. And this task is robust. Don't just put a bumper sticker on your car. Don't just put a tattoo on your arm, as cool as that is. Don't just put a cross around your neck. Rather, these lifelong learners are to embody, to know, to tell God's teachings in the broader society. Baptism is the initiation by his work. It marks a movement from death to life. Third, now just perhaps to drive this point home, Jesus says that we should teach all that he commanded. Take a look at verse 20. He says, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but Matthew seems to be one of the easiest or most clearly marked gospels for teaching. I mean, they're all like this. But Matthew seems to be built around five teachings of Jesus. Specifically for Matthew 28, Matthew is clearly trying to emphasize the difference between lip service and lives that are about him. In other words, like I said last week, actions are supposed to follow belief. Now, not only that, but some scholars point out that there's a repetition here and that Jesus is saying something like this. He's calling his people to be teachers who make teachers. Teachers who make teachers. Or we are to be teachers who teach others. We are to be teachers who replace ourselves in this great chain of the church throughout history. And what do we get to teach? Man, the content is really cool. It's the impossible. We get to teach stuff like this. Love your enemies. Forget Jesus. God forgives anybody who believes in Jesus. Anybody. What God has joined together, let nobody separate. Let your light shine before people. Rejoice at persecution. Be born again. Love God above all else. Humble yourself and be a servant. We follow a God who is three in one, became man to die and rise again, who takes away sin, your sin, and is coming again to judge and free humanity from the shackles of selfishness, Satan, and death, simply and completely by believing in Jesus. Wow! What a call! But maybe you feel like this. How can I possibly do this? And frankly, we probably feel less than equipped at times. And if we're honest, all of us, we've probably been reluctant or afraid or hesitant or just plain dismissive toward this call to share about who Jesus is. I mean, the world really needs authenticity. It can smell a fake a mile away. The world does not need more religion or the divisiveness it causes. And you know what? When our phones are repeatedly grabbing our eyes and our jobs or schools are always stressing us out, our kids are always craving our attention, and the world won't stop buzzing, we believe, really, we're not the ones for this. But that's why I think Jesus says we're never alone. You'll never have to do this on your own. Jesus is with you. He is your Savior, your best friend, your divine power, your authority over all. In fact, he even makes sure you know this. I am with you always. Now, you know, I get it that nearly every Sunday I stand up here and I try to download stuff like this into you, and it often requires a little participation on your part. So, honestly, how can I expect you to be a witnessing dynamo if we don't get a chance to practice every once in a while? So, with that thought, today I just want to have this service include a small lab, if you will. So I'm going to give you 5 minutes, okay? It's plenty of time, trust me, 5 minutes with the people around you, but I'm going to ask you that you not do it with your family. So if you need to find somebody else, please do. And yes, I know, I'm probably going to hear about this later because my wife, I love her, she does not like doing this. But we're all going to stretch today, okay? Myself included. So I want you to find somebody, 5 minutes, answer this question. Where have I seen God at work lately? Okay? Ready? Go. Okay, can I have everybody back? Okay, come on back. Come back and sit down if you can. All right. I want to pray, and then I want to see if we can get if we can keep going here. And hopefully that's just the beginning of a discussion. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, you know, it's the heart of this congregation that this happened not just here, but outside of here. I heard it in the Bible study. I hear it in first service. I hear it from folks that have been here a long time and a short time, that this kind of talk become real for them outside of these four walls. Lord, it's a blessing that we're as open to kind of roll with it. There are other churches like this who, if we would have taken this kind of time during worship, I'm not sure I would have been here much longer. That's just the way it kind of works. But Lord, I pray that it doesn't just happen here, that it happens in schools and at workplaces and in families and in tough situations and in celebrations, that you are talked about, that your gospel is seen, that people live it and talk about it and learn about it and teach it. Lord, give us such a passion and a comfort level, not just to do it here, but outside of here, to talk about and to witness to you. And I know that's a little scary, and I know we often put ourselves in the first place where, but I don't have the right words or the right timing, or how am I supposed to say this, or what if they think this of me? Lord, as you said to Paul, may there be less of us and more of you. And then let it happen. Lord, ultimately to you be the glory. Lord, be our vision, O bright heaven's sun. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, while you reshuffle...